I'm back. What's up, everybody? Yeah. Dive for cover. I'm back in the studio. Today is Wednesday, and we're going to talk about, you know, I guess in part, the travel industry. Go figure. And, you know, I just got back from New York City that I will tell you is near, I'll describe it as a ghost city. I will talk it, I'll discuss it as not a safe city. I didn't feel safe on the streets of Madison, Park Avenue, 57th, 56th, right? In fact, walking out of a store was accosted by four people, literally in 3 seconds, and I walked back into the store because I didn't want to have an altercation. But travel going in the air, traveling on airports, traveling on the roads, traveling on cruises, traveling to Europe, traveling within the United States, all of this seems to be an issue. And again, it becomes the blame game. Corporate America once followed a stupid policy of cutting salespeople during a recession, right? Now, it sounds like a good thing to do. Let's cut employee salaries. So let's start off with the only part of a company that generates revenue.
All right.
So the stupidity is I have an excuse while we can't get stuff out there, or I have great sales growth, or I have shrinking sales growth, right? Let's talk about the tourism industry. Royal Caribbean and Carnival and Norwegian and Virgin have a customer service unit is just to email, no one to talk to. Airlines have horrendous wait times. And when you finally get someone, they disconnect you. In the airport, you have lines of trying to get assistance, applications that crash, gate attendants that don't care, right? And they all blame it on something other than their own corporate failures. CEOs, presidents, units, media people blame everyone but themselves. And this is the new norm. And, you know, I'm going to give a little parallel. Politics is no different. Today, I've got to blame someone other than myself because what I did was really bad. And I need to find an issue and make that the news media cycle for 24 hours and no longer have this. And we're stupid to believe it. David, this was your topic. You know, I'm going to let you. And by the way, in travel, I do own in my book a number of travel Q-sips. This should not influence my buy or sell or yours. Because again, you know, I got to disclose that. David, go to you.
Well, listen, let's take a step back here. And what was the whole point of this rant today is to talk about why do you want to travel today? Like, why? Think about it. If you are a regular family, you know, parents, kids, and you think you're thinking this summer, let's go on a trip. You're now rethinking this whole thing for a variety of reasons. So let's take a look at what happened this past holiday season. And yes, the airlines and everybody blamed yet again, Mother Nature, right? Can't we have to blame Mother Nature? Mom's always responsible for the weather. Bad weather caused all these cancellations and delays. Wait a minute. Southwest Airlines canceled over 15,000 flights over the course of the holidays and even till recently. But that's the weather? No. And your point, Stuart, is when the airlines, which went through a very difficult time during COVID, is finally able to recover a lot of the losses. Well, number one, they jack up rates. It's ridiculous saying, well, don't blame us. Fuel charges are up. We're short-staffed. All these excuses, you know, mechanical failures with the planes. Just airline travel alone has gotten to be a horror story. And when you're a regular business traveler, and Stuart, you and I have done the business travel in our history, we don't even pay attention anymore. We just go, we just do, because that's what businesses was all about. But when you're a family and you've saved up and you've worked hard to make, you know, put that money aside to finally take your family on a Christmas vacation or a summer vacation, and the airlines cancel everything. Boom, it's done, it's finished. I know people who went on cruises who said that the boats were supposed to be full, but thousands of passengers did not make their cruises because the airlines couldn't take off. They couldn't get the people there in time. So now people are saying, well, if I have to fly not a day, but 2 days in advance and get hotels and pay for all these things, the average person just can't do that. It's just not feasible. So suddenly air travel has become an absolute nightmare. Now, you could sit there and you could say, listen, hey, come on. You know, an average day, about 1% of flights will get canceled. So, but according to the Southwest rate, it was like more than double. That domino effect was insane. Now, you said that the people at the counter don't care. And I don't agree with you. There are a lot of great people working for the airlines and the customer support. But it's not their fault that the infrastructure that should have been put there by the airlines, with all the technology advancements, with all that opportunity, they got rid of customer service at the airports. That's ridiculous. In what world do you take out customer service when you have a problem? Who's supposed to take it? People waited in line for hours to get on a bank of phones to speak to customer support to only be told, well, there's nothing we could do. The whole experience has turned into a nightmare. Now, that is just one aspect of airlines. But here's the other part. You finally get to your hotel. You finally get to your resort. You finally get on your cruise. And I'm thinking of a family. Or you even finally get to Disney, Universal, wherever you're going. And the experience is not only excessively expensive, but underwhelming. Quality of food is diminished. Staff experience is not there because you can't find people. You know, what's happened today is you're trying to recover the almighty buck, but you have now made this entire travel experience, Stuart, an absolute unattractive experience. I have to tell you that I know a lot of people who've told me that they are canceling flight plans and all these things. They'd rather go by car somewhere and somewhere short distance, like we did in COVID, because they don't trust the airlines, the cruises, let alone the hotels.
Listen, infrastructure bill was passed that addressed no infrastructure. The previous administration came up and said, we have one of the most tired, dilapidated air travel system in the world, right? The roads are some of the worst condition in the Western world. Nothing's worse than Quebec. So Montreal does own the worst roads in the world. However, you know, current politics is causing everyone to look the other way.
But listen, you know what? Your transport secretary, just to give you an idea, your transport secretary during Christmas.
I have a transport secretary?
Yes, your
transport secretary.
Pete Buttigieg, who seems to have no care in the world.
My buddy Pete.
Doesn't care. When the airlines had cancellations, he ran away. When the FAA computer systems went down, he ran away. I mean, you know, this is the thing. You have a transport secretary who just ran away. His responsibility is to keep transport going just in the United States alone. Listen, in Canada, we weren't much better. Sunwing Airlines here in Canada, charter airline, screwed everybody. The point is, Stuart, you say it's politics. But if this is the way the governments want to run the transport industry and ensure that, you know, things move, this is a horror story. It's terrible.
It is. Listen, I just flew back and forth to New York City, and it was very expeditious at Miami, very expeditious at JFK, very expeditious at the hotel, you know. Again, I had none of these issues. I did see some lines. I did see some backups that I was personally unaffected by. But again, and I was very fortunate not to have any issue. But I do see that issue with people sleeping in airports
But here's the thing. But here's the question for you, Stuart, okay? And here's this other thing which we didn't dive into. Here you are. You finally made it to New York City. And you look around and you don't recognize the city.
Nope.
Crime is up. Homelessness is up.
Yep.
And it's not just in New York City. It's all over the place. And why do I want to go back to a city like New York, where once upon a time was the crime city of north of the United States, and now you get the feeling of, you know, if crime is going up and I don't feel secure, why do I want to go to New York?
I get it, and I hear you, and I don't disagree. I personally didn't go very far from the car to the location, to the other location, into a car. I didn't walk the streets of New York. I refused, because what I saw in the few seconds didn't leave me so warm and fuzzy. There are stores in Brooklyn, grocery stores, that have shut their doors because shoplifting, right, destroyed their profit, and they just Rite Aid shut in Brooklyn. Shut their doors. We're not going to be open right now. We're going to close. It's cheaper for us to pay our lease, fire everyone that works there, move, transfer our stock to another location, and just abandon that location. New York is basically becoming a 1980, 1990 Detroit, Michigan.
That's crazy. And to think that we're in a world where, you know, once you want to go to New York, you want to see its beauty.
Yeah.
If you don't feel safe, why are you going there?
There's
safety there. And then I mentioned Disney before, and Disney announced excessive increases to come to the park. A family of four, if you're not from Florida, is paying a ridiculous amount of money to go to the park. Now, I respect the fact that, you know, costs go up and the issues are up there, but I thought Disney was supposed to be about family fun, not family robbery.
Correct. Well, Disney's always been family robbery, again, like another stock that It's really
the question is, if I'm a family, if I don't have young kids anymore, so I'm not thinking about going to Disney to take my kids anymore. But those who are looking to travel right now are scratching their heads going, you know, I work hard. I want a break. I want to do something with the family. And yet what ends up happening? I can't afford to go somewhere where if there's a cancellation, I'm screwed. My whole vacation is done. And you know what? For the people who are still waiting for their luggage since Christmas, and there are people waiting for their luggage since Christmas, there's nobody to sue. There's nobody to get. And by the way, I don't know if you heard, Southwest Airlines, while they refunded people and they gave everybody credits and whatever, announced that they're going to give people 25,000 frequent flyer miles as a thank you and apology for the misery and whatever. But that doesn't give you back the lost time that you could have had at Christmas time, that you finally had your first opportunity to go on and travel and see the family and do, and they destroyed it. And not just Southwest, every airline.
David, I throw my hands up in the air and I tell you, thank God it didn't happen to me.
Well, listen, thank God it didn't happen to you. And you know, the percentages, when you think about it, they say the percentage of the cancellations and delays, small. You know how many people have been impacted? How many thousands and thousands of people have been impacted by this? And you know what? I got to tell you, you know, when you spoke to the airlines, and with this, we got to wrap up. You say to the airline, hey, help me. And they said, oh, well, you didn't book it through us. You might have gone through Expedia or booking.com or whatever. Not our problem. The entire customer experience is out the roof, out. And you know what? I don't know what to do with these guys, because you can't boycott airlines.
David.
Stuart, we're done.
We're done.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're done for this week, which means we'll see you on Friday. Hope your travels are safe and event-free. And we hope you have a good time. Take care, everybody. We'll see you on Friday.